Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today I have a really important show, one that I think is very timely in the day and age that we find ourselves. I know people have been watching TV, listening to the radio, and personally I think we're at a crossroads. And we talk about the Constitution, we talk about states' rights, we talk about individual freedoms, and I think there's a lot of hot air, but not a lot of intellectual thought. And so today I wanted to have a guest on who can speak to all of this. I'd like to welcome Ms. Joanne Martin. She's a retired litigation attorney and well-known writer and speaker on our U.S. Constitution. Before getting a law degree, she got a degree in philosophy, where she specialized in political philosophy and epistemology. She's a former captain in the Army JAG Corps and served in Berlin, Germany during the Cold War. Writing under the pen name of Publius Hulda, she uses the federal papers to prove the genuine meaning of our Constitution and shows how federal judges, politicians, and the American people have ignored our Constitution for over 100 years. She shows how the people can, by learning and enforcing our founding principles and Constitution, restore our constitutional federal republic. And I think that in the age that we find ourselves, I'm really blessed to have you on, Ms. Martin, because I want the facts. You know, everybody's screeching at each other. Everybody is the biggest victim. And I wanted to bring some light to the situation. So I want to welcome you to the show. It's a pleasure to have you on.
My pleasure. Thank you very much, Dr. George.
Well, let's get into it, because let's talk about what's going on. People are saying at some points that the president is overstepping his bounds. He doesn't have the right to do things. The states are calling themselves autonomous in certain situations, but again, they want money from the government. So let's start at the template. What is a state's right versus a federal government's right?
Okay, first of all, governments never have rights. Only individuals have rights. Our Declaration of Independence is the fundamental act of our founding. It is the document which sets forth the principles on which our Constitution was based. And our Declaration of Independence states four of our founding principles, which are: all men are created equal, rights come from government, the purpose of government is to secure the rights God gave us, and when government fails to do this, fails to secure our God-given rights, we have the right to throw it off and set up a new one. So the purpose of government is nothing more than to secure the rights God gave us, and they secure our rights by protecting us from those who seek to take our rights away from us. Governments have only powers. Specifically, the powers needed to carry out their function of securing the rights God gave us. And these powers are set forth in the Constitution which created the government. Our U.S. Constitution enumerates the powers we delegated to the federal government. We delegated only a small handful of powers to the federal government. Depending upon how you count, it's only 18 to 21 powers. Most of these powers that we delegated to the federal government are itemized as Article 1, Section 8, Clauses 1 through 16 of the U.S. Constitution. And each power which we delegated to the federal government was designed to enable the federal government to secure a specific God-given right. For example, we delegated to the federal government the power to handle war, national defense. This secures our God-given right to life. The federal government is to secure our property rights, an honest money system, honest weights and measures, patents and copyrights, the right to the fruits of our own labors, by the enumerated powers which delegate the federal government authority to establish a money system based on gold and silver, to establish a patent and copyright office, to establish a uniform standard of weights and measures. All of these powers were delegated to the federal government to enable it to secure those specific rights. They also secure our right to life, not only by military defense, but also by controlling immigration and protecting us from invasion.
You know, when you there's so many times now that we've wandered off that pathway. We were talking about the Federal Reserve. We're talking about fiat currency now, which is not based on gold or silver. We're talking about the IRS taxing the heck out of us, so our fruits and labor is being sucked into a vacuum that we can't control. Oh my God, I mean, we have just gone off the beaten path here. How did we get here?
Well, in the early 1900s, the progressives took over our country. Now, the progressives were known in England as the Fabian Socialists, but they needed a prettified name that sounded better in America, so they called themselves the Progressives. They wanted to establish a socialist regulatory welfare state in this country. But to do that, they needed an endless supply of cash. The federal government, now that the progressives had taken over, couldn't establish a socialist regulatory welfare state just with tax monies, because they could take all the property the American people had, and that wouldn't be enough to fund the socialist welfare state. So they needed an endless supply of credit. And that was the purpose of the Federal Reserve Act of 1913. It created a banking system to which the federal government delegated authority to create credit out of thin air. The Federal Reserve then lent this manufactured imaginary money to the federal government, which used it to fund the expansion of the federal government. And all of this money, which the Federal Reserve Bank created out of thin air and lent to the federal government, has become part of the national debt. It has got to be the hugest scam ever perpetrated upon a gullible people.
Wow.
And that's how we got the Federal Reserve System. And the system is now collapsing due to the constant, you know, printing of new money, you know, the creation of new credit, new credit, new credit.
Wow. When you think about the consequences of this, this system going haywire, and we're looking at the wealth of our country, the fruit of your labor, which you described at the beginning of our conversation. God put us on this earth for a reason, to find out what we were designed to do and to do. There's nothing wrong with being paid for labor that you honestly make. And we're actually having all of that just ripped away. And it's been such a subterfuge. You don't see it. The way you just described it is a very clear cut. When you think about that money just being taken for greed, to work against people, and at this point, I would say, quite frankly, to work against God, since there's been an overwhelming move towards removing God from church, even from school, from the conversation, and who stands to gain? On that note, let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Joanna Martin. She's a constitutional lawyer and somebody who really has a historical finger on the pulse of where we are and how we got here. And before the break, you were really honestly breaking down in very stark detail how the Constitution was designed and how it's been completely turned on its head. And you talked about the Federal Reserve. How about the things like the IRS and gosh, the education system, if you really want to go there, but the IRS specifically?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Is it constitutional or no?
Well, our government, our Constitution created a government, and the powers were so limited that the federal government needed very little money to carry out its constitutional functions, because all they have the power to do falls into four categories. One, international trade and diplomacy and military defense. Two, establish the uniform commercial system. That's where the weights and measures, patents and copyrights, money system based on gold and silver, bankruptcy laws, mail delivery and some road building. Three, laws on immigration and naturalization. And four, with some of the amendments, protect certain specific civil rights. A government which is limited to those functions, as our Constitution limits our federal government, doesn't need much money.
Mm-hmm.
What? To have a socialist regulatory welfare state, they need lots of money. So, not only did they create the Federal Reserve System to create credit out of thin air and then lend it to the federal government and have it make it the national debt, they also passed, at this same time period, the 16th Amendment, which imposed the income tax. Now, the purpose of the income tax really wasn't to raise money to help the federal government to pay its expenses, because the federal government had all the credit it needed, could get all the credit it needed from the Federal Reserve Bank. The real purpose of the income tax was to siphon off from the American people some of their credit in order to slow inflation. Does that make sense?
Oh, okay.
The federal income tax was to take credit out of the economy,
mm-hmm,
so that when the Federal Reserve Bank kept pumping new credit into the economy, it could control inflation to some extent by siphoning money away from the American people. Also, the purpose of the income tax was to prevent middle-class people from rising, from getting wealthy. And that was extremely important. They didn't want a lot of wealthy people, just a small number of wealthy people. But because of the 16th Amendment, the income tax is constitutional. But the real purpose is to prevent you from becoming wealthy.
Well, isn't that the socialist model, where there's,
yes,
a small number at the top and everybody else, well, they tell you they're all for the middle class, but in actuality, some people, and I love this, more equal than others, you know, they get to, they get to run the show. They get to decide winners and losers.
That's right. During the Cold War, I spent a good bit of time in the Central and Eastern Europe and the former Soviet Union. This was during the early to mid-1970s. And, oh, yes, I've never seen such a division between the elite,
mm-hmm,
and the proletariat, you know, the poor and the elite. I remember being in Poland one day, and I was walking around, and I saw a group of young men, and I asked them, "What are you doing?" They were sniffing the air. And I said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "Oh, that's a restaurant. They're cooking meat. It's for the party elite. We can't go in there and we can't buy meat, but we can smell it." Now, our conversation took place in a mixture of German and English.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I spoke German, and they spoke partial English, so it was kind of a hodgepodge language. That's how we were to communicate. But yes, I saw this all throughout communist East Europe: extreme poverty and then extreme privilege for the elite.
That's the, I mean, well, maybe this is the whole method now of tearing down statues and removing history, because we're going to repeat what, if we don't know what came before us. And we're,
yeah,
so stuck in the emotion of victimhood, and as if nothing has changed, as if it's never going to change. It's dooming us to repeat the same things. And I'm going to go off just topic for a hot second to give an example. You've heard of that autonomous society in Seattle, right?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, they have segregation. They have people searching people, you know, without due process.
Uh-huh.
They have people rummaging through, you know, materials. They think something is stolen. It's completely lawless. And it's the worst part of our society. I mean, now that we've moved past segregation and sexism and all these other things, and it's alive and well when people are allowed to have no consequences for their actions and not follow any kind of standard. It's not God driven in there. It's about who has the biggest gun. That's not what we're about. So, I mean, that's just an example to me of how the Constitution has the power of it to help society, help the least in society, quite frankly. I mean, isn't this the only piece of paper, aside from Magna Carta, pretty much, I guess, where no matter who you are, if you've got a good idea, if you're big enough to do what you want to do, you can make it. Isn't that?
Yes. After we corrected, you know, our Declaration of Independence is very express. The first principle is all men are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our Constitution, for the most part, was very faithful to our founding principles, but we violated that first principle, all men are created equal, when we permitted hereditary black slavery to continue. So that was a major defect in our Constitution, but we fixed that with the 13th Amendment, and then with Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, and then with the 15th Amendment. So that those defects were fixed. After those corrections, our Constitution became a miracle. A government, which a national government, which does nothing more than protect us, protect our God-given rights in those specific ways appropriate to the national government of the Federation of States, and doesn't meddle in our lives or tell us what to do or stick their hands in our pockets to take my property away from me and give it to others.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. And go ahead.
It's been ignored for 100 years because the progressives took over and the indoctrination that went on in the law schools. 100 years ago, Charles Evans Hughes, who later became Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, said, yeah, we have a constitution, but it means what the judges say it means. And Dr. George, that is what law students have been taught for 100 years. That's what I was taught when I was in law school 50 years ago.
That's amazing. So,
and if you look at Article 3, Section 1 of our Constitution, that's where the Supreme Court is created. So our Constitution created the Supreme Court. And now we're being told for the last 100 years that the creature of the Constitution has the power to determine what the document which created it said? That's absurd.
Wow. So the thought or the mindset that it's a living document to be, every generation gets to put their stamp on it and take it further away from the original meaning is okay. Is that their mindset because of that?
That is their mindset. What happened was in the, you know, when Charles Darwin came out with his theory of evolution, subversives in the legal profession saw the possibilities and they wanted to apply that to the Constitution. So they said, the Constitution evolves. It's a living, breathing thing which changes as social conditions and needs change. That of course, was compatible. That was what the progressives needed the American people to believe.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how it came about.
Well, I think there's a ruling that just came down a couple of days ago about, I think it's Title VII, and applying sexual orientation and gender whatever labels to this, to the document, without real thought to what that really means from a, a real life standpoint, there's been a lot of conversations about gender in bathrooms and change rooms and Title IX and sporting and all sorts of things, which this potentially will change. And I think that's a really good example of putting a modern stamp on the Constitution and I think expanding what the original intent was without.
The federal government has absolutely no authority over education. It's got authority only over such things as weights and measures, patents and copyrights. Education isn't listed among the enumerated powers. I remember several years ago, I think it was during the Obama administration, there was all this talk about in the public schools making the bathrooms unisex.
Right.
And states were going along with it because if they didn't, they'd lose their federal funds, their federal education funds, if they didn't go along with it.
Well, this ruling actually puts that, I think it puts that into play and makes a grid out of it because it's a civil right now. And there's, I think it steps on other people's civil rights and their freedom of speech and all sorts of things that can change the whole complexion of, and I don't think it's an argument. I think we need to make concessions for folks, but it shouldn't be that on the religious freedom and on the personal freedom and liberty of other people. I don't think that that's fair to people who have issues, whether that because they're a woman and they don't feel comfortable, or they've been a victim of a sexual assault, they don't want a man in their change room, you name it. There's a lot of different things that this could play out as, and it has potential to really damage society and pull us further apart from instead of
I haven't read the decision you're talking about. You said it just came out a few days ago.
Yeah, I think the Supreme Court, Alito, and probably Roberts and Kavanaugh, I think they were dissent, and the rest went along with this change. And
Justice Thomas surely didn't go along with anything bad.
Oh, no, he was against it. They were the dissent in the decision. But he made a really good point about how this affects people on a day-to-day basis and on a personal safety and emotional level. This is a big thing that's coming down. And, you know, we're talking, it seems like it's just this superimposition of somebody's will to change the United States on a fundamental level, but they're using all of these other parameters or groups to make it happen, whether it's by fear, by force, by crazy decisions. I'm just seeing that the judiciary just seems to be kind of on its own little track. And I'd like to ask more about that, about the COVID situation when we come back. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution with Dr. Elena George. We're speaking with Ms. Joanna Martin. And before the break, we were talking about fundamental change that's being legislated by, I think, eroding the original intent of the Constitution. And I think you made a really good point. The 13th, 14th, 15th Amendments and everything, the voting rights for women, these are things that corrected ills in the original Constitution. And I just can't really get your feeling of the people who are acting like nothing has changed, this is the worst country in the world, the Constitution is the worst thing. What's your take on that? Is this media driven? I don't believe this is the majority of the country who actually believe this.
What's really involved is that it's a concerted move to destroy the United States so that we can be moved into global government. You know, for example, the recent USMCA so-called trade agreement that had very little to do with trade relations between the United States, Canada, and Mexico. I actually took off 3 to 4 weeks to read that trade agreement, in quotes, and it is really about, it's a massive transfer of sovereignty from the United States and the American people to global government, to committees which are to be set up, governing bodies and committees, which would be set up over the three countries, Canada, the United States, and Mexico. But they, in turn, are going to be subject to various agencies of the United Nations, such as the International Monetary Fund. So I think that's what's really going on. This is a concerted attempt to destroy our country, to destroy our national sovereignty. I think the chaos is deliberate, and it's being engineered so that we will be so thankful when, for example, UN troops come in to restore peace.
Problem, reaction, solution, it sounds like.
Yes.
Well, so... Oh, go ahead.
And I think these rioters, yeah. I think they're pawns. It's very complicated. On the one aspect, I'm somewhat familiar with Marxist revolutionary theory, and it bears all the earmarks of a communist revolution in progress right now. What's going on with Antifa, Black Lives Matter, and those other groups? That has all of the earmarks of the of a communist revolution. At the same time, we've got the globalist pushing to get us all into the North American Union, like the European Union.
Right.
There's similar push by the Council on Foreign Relations to get Canada and the United States and Mexico to unite politically into a North American Union. So I don't know how the communist who were rioting in the cities, and the globalists who were at the Council on Foreign Relations. I don't know what the connection, if any, is between those two, or whether they're rival gangs, rivals, or whether they're really working towards the same goal, but just appealing to different segments of the population.
I would go with the latter. I think this is paid for. You have to follow the money. And it seems that the same people are underwriting it, whether that be George Soros, various oligarchs in our country, and what we call the deep state. And that's the folks who don't want things. They want to stay in power no matter what.
Yes.
And it's unfortunately, I think people, there are good people who want to do the right thing, and they're being the front or being used as. When you start talking about tearing down Abraham Lincoln and, you know, not going after the Ku Klux Klan statue, you know, was it Albert Pike, things like that, it's not about race. It's about just tearing down to do it without any thought. And it's on all sides, unfortunately.
You know, the Russian composer Dmitri Shostakovich, I read his memoirs. He was telling about how, I don't remember now if he said that this was Lenin or Stalin who did it, but Shostakovich wrote that there was a well-known troupe of blind singers, male singers, who all, for some reason, happened to be blind, and they went around Russia singing Russian folk songs. The dictator, it was either Lenin or Stalin, had them all killed, and Shostakovich told us why. Because they want, these singers were perpetrating Russian culture, traditional Russian culture, and Stalin or Lenin wanted to terminate Russian culture, because under communism we have a completely new system and the past is erased and done away with. I think that's what's going on in America.
I think you're right, and it's a staged type of thing. It was a religious kind of battle, Christianity, Islam. That's just useful to their cause as well. Now we're hitting the race side. We had a sex issue with the Me Too movement. It's like one thing to the next thing to the next thing to divide and conquer. And now we have COVID. And in your the way you see it, has COVID crisis, has the lockdown weakened the U.S. Constitution?
No, because our Constitution is still the supreme law of the land. And as such, which it is the standard by which we measure all acts of the federal government and some acts of the state governments. So the problem is that everybody's ignored our Constitution. It's still there. It's just covered with 100 years of dust.
Mm-hmm.
So the federal government has no authority over the country at large to institute any kind of lockdown measures. To my knowledge, the federal government hasn't been doing that so much over the country at large. Mm-hmm. Is that correct?
That's correct. It's been the, yeah, the local, the states, it's, the governors,
yeah,
the mayors. Been,
yeah, so the problem has been in the state and local governments. Now, state constitutions are the exact opposite of our federal constitution, whereas our federal constitution delegates only a handful of powers to the federal government and reserves all other powers to the states or the people. State constitutions generally, the people of the states generally delegated to their state governments general legislative powers.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that is still governed, supposed to be governed by the principle in our Declaration of Independence that the purpose of state government is also just to secure the rights God gave us. But when the progressives took over the federal government, the progressives also turned over the state governments, and that's how our state governments also became socialist regulatory welfare states. So the government, the state governments generally have unlimited legislative powers, restricted only by the Declaration of Rights in the state constitution and by certain acts of the federal constitution, such as Article 1, Section 10, Section 1 of the 14th Amendment, which prohibits the state governments from making any laws which interfere with the life, liberty, and property of people. State governments have been violating the declarations of rights in their state constitutions when they impose lockdown orders on people who are ostensibly healthy,
mm-hmm,
force them to shut down their businesses. And the acts of some of these state officials has been incredibly arbitrary. I'm told that the governor of Michigan prohibited people from going to the stores to buy seeds to plant their garden,
mm-hmm,
but swingers bars and swingers clubs, that's essential. You can buy lottery tickets and go to liquor stores, but you can't buy seeds to plant your garden.
That's kind of crazy.
So, yeah, but, well, it's bizarre, tyrannical abuses of dictators governing according to their own whim.
Knowing that, I didn't realize that the states were in opposition to the federal government. And I want to
ask, the constitutions are the opposite. You know,
yeah,
general unlimited powers, general powers to the state governments limited only by the Declaration of Rights. For example, state governments, which state constitutions generally have clauses protecting freedom of association, freedom of religion, right to private property, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So state power is restricted by those rights of the people. But what these states have been doing, such as Michigan, California, New York, and other states, they have been denying people the right to go to church, forcing them to close their businesses, thus destroying their property, prohibiting farmers from getting their crops to the market. All of this stuff is monstrously unconstitutional,
mm-hmm,
and we know it has nothing to do with health, because you can go to a store to buy a lottery ticket, you can go to a swingers bar,
mm-hmm,
and you can go to a liquor store. It has nothing to do with health. I think the purpose is to destroy our economic system. Why would you not allow farmers to harvest their crops and get them to the market? Because you want to create a food shortage and starvation. And it reminds me of Stalin starved millions of people in the Ukraine, starved them to death.
Well, it seems like we're repeating the same pathway. On that note, let's and think about that. Let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living Solution. We're speaking with Ms. Martin, and before the break, we were, I think, getting an education about the consequences and how hypocritical this all is, and how there seems to be, if we really want to be honest with ourselves, an agenda to destroy our country, and by definition, all of us within it. You know, we started off, I think, a lot of argument with immigration and what it meant to be an American, and that was stepped on. You know, when you hear Congress people talking about somebody here without coming in legally is more of an American than an American, that should make everybody's hair stand up on the back of their necks, because they're putting a value on us. We're devalued. And it seems to be the way that it's been for a while, but they're just now coming out and being open about it. To me, it seems as if we are getting, this has been going on in the background for hundreds of years, as you described. Now it seems to be out in the forefront, as if there is some sort of deadline that they're trying to get to finish the job, to finish the devaluation of American citizens and humans, for that matter, for breaking the Constitution, getting rid of the government, and bringing in a top-down collectivist, I would say socialist and godless society.
Yes, I think that there is a deadline. One, George Soros, who apparently we hear reports is paying people to participate in these violent riots. Mm-hmm. George Soros started the Constitution 2020 movement. He wanted to get a progressive a new progressive constitution in place by the year 2020. The North American Union provides for the political unification of the three countries, Canada, the U.S., and Mexico. It provides, among other things, that there will be a parliament to be set up over the three countries. A parliament is going to be set up over the United States, Canada, and Mexico. This is in the task force report, which was sponsored by the Council on Foreign Relations. I've read it. To have a parliament set up over the United States is totally repugnant to our Constitution. So, in order to move the United States into the North American Union, they need to get a new constitution for our country. Now, we believe that it has been primarily the Koch brothers of Texas who are funding the push to get a new constitution. And I believe the new constitution they want is one which would permit us to be moved into the North American Union. This is what the Council on Foreign Relations has been working on for years. On the other side, supposedly, George Soros is pushing for a new constitution so he can get his progressive constitution in place. He wanted it done this year. It does seem that everything is ratcheting up to such a high level of agitation, and so much is going on. You know, this talk about forced vaccinations.
Exactly.
Jeez. I understand that I'm hearing that there might be tracking devices or monitoring devices or some little chip that they can put in with the injection, supposedly vaccination, which turns you into all your information is on this little microchip, which is injected into you.
Yeah. I've heard that as well. And it goes right into the cell, and it's an RNA-based vaccine, so it integrates with your RNA, which is part of the messaging for you as a human being. And, you know, if you know your biology, if things pass generationally that way, you're never going to be the same. It's like genetically engineering or genetically modifying humans, and it's not appropriate. And if the first thing is freedom, is liberty, and the freedom to, you know, life, liberty, pursuit of happiness, this goes contrary to that tenet in the Constitution, period. And they're trying to use fear, and it's not science at this point. It's just indoctrination, and whoever has an outlying thought gets removed from the conversation. This is against nature. It's against God for someone to make you put something into your system that's not been tested, and it won't be. You need years to figure these things out. Two, you don't have a choice. If there's a bad outcome, they can't be sued because that's how it's been set up. I mean, this system is completely corrupt. As a physician, I practice the Hippocratic Oath. This is against the Hippocratic Oath. You do no harm. Someone's going to make you do harm potentially to humanity. This doesn't make any sense for a virus that is no less lethal, no more lethal, I should say, than the flu. When you really look at the numbers, not the numbers that they ginned up. And this is just a sad situation. Constitutionally, can anybody be held liable for this? And let's give an example. Right now, one of my association that I belong to, the American Association of Physicians and Surgeons, is fighting the hydrochloroquine argument. And there seems to be, have been, a movement to suppress whether hydrochloroquine is the appropriate treatment, therapeutic, one of them, for treating COVID-19. And it's turning out that it's been, from a government standpoint, suppressed, and people who now have died and have been told that this is not the treatment, and we're going to come after you, your physicians. And it's just been a really aggressive suppression. Constitutionally, is there anybody that can be held liable for taking away someone's freedom?
First of all, our Constitution doesn't delegate any power to the federal government over the country at large to meddle in medical matters. Zero. They have no authority. None.
So my flip question, from the states then, they have the right to, they have a more pervasive right.
They have broader powers.
Correct.
Yes.
But do their power stop where this begins? If it steps on your freedom to associate, to speak, to have a foreign substance injected into you, doesn't their power stop when that border is breached?
Yes, it does.
How do we get that in their heads then? They're doing things that are totally illegal, unethical, unconstitutional, and they're just going for it.
I think they're going for it because Bill Gates has an awful lot of money, and he's been spreading it around for decades.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I understand that he's one of the major funders of the World Health Organization and a number of other so-called health organizations. He funds them.
He's number two. We used to be, the United States used to be number one. Now that we've pulled out of WHO, he is the most prolific underwriter of the WHO, which is tragic. He's not a doctor. He's not gone to medical school. I mean, who stands to gain? And no one talks about the conflict of interest. He stands to gain monetarily, if not from a psychological point of view. Seems like he just wants to get rid of people, quite frankly. But from a economic point of view, if he's got money based in these vaccines and these therapeutics, there's a conflict of interest. That's unethical. Nobody talks about that.
Oh, well, they do, but of course it's pulled off of YouTube.
Yeah, you're right. But from a constitutional standpoint, a legal standpoint, how does he get away with that?
He gets away with it because our governments are corrupt. The people we elect to office are corrupt. Money changes hands. And I have learned that many Americans will do anything for money.
Yeah, that's an unfortunate
but
money.
I urge Americans, I will not willingly submit to that vaccine. And I urge other Americans to do the same.
I would absolutely agree with that, especially...
I would like for you to write a paper. Have you written something, your comments about the changing the DNA and all that stuff about this vaccine? Because I, as a layperson, don't really understand it. In fact, I don't understand it at all. And I'd love to read something that you wrote on it.
I haven't actually written anything, but there's been a lot of research on it, and I'd be happy to share that with you and also put it in the show notes, because people do need to understand what this really means. It's not a typical vaccine at all. It is a RNA-driven vaccine. And it's once it's incorporated in you, it's not going anywhere. And if it is indeed tagged with tracers and nanotech to track you, to know what's going on in your internal biological system, it's completely unacceptable. Period. End of story. And for something that it's like, I can't even describe how heinous it potentially could be. And let's say it did what it wanted to. This is for argument's sake. There is always going to be people who have a bad outcome with taking these medications. What happens to those people, with their families, if there's a bad event? Oh, well, I mean, that doesn't even...
Because of immunity, they have no recourse.
No, that's a problem. How do they even get that? I mean, that in itself is sick, but it's all about
Congress
the money.
Passed it.
It's about the money. So,
Congress had no authority to pass the law providing immunity to vaccine manufacturers. They had no authority to do it, no constitutional authority, but they did it anyway. Because law students were taught the Constitution means what the Supreme Court says it means. Most people believe that the federal government can do whatever they want.
Well, it's kind of how it's working out, right? They can take your money.
Yeah.
We're seeing how this is working. They can gin up a fake case against you and arrest you and take your property. We're seeing this.
Yeah.
And again, there's no consequence. If you can be set up, if they can make up fake charges, if they can do that to the people in power, you know, someone military.
Like General Flynn.
Exactly. What are they going to do to Joe Public? You don't have the kind of money, you don't have the credibility, you don't have the platform that he does, and no one will ever know. And if it happens to him, we need to really take a step back from hating on people. Oh, it's okay to do it to X because he's a Republican or a Democrat. They're coming for you next if you let it happen to the other side. And that's what they want. Winners and tribal and losers, and we're all part of we got our little group, we all have to stick together, good or bad. That's how they're getting us, and we really need to stop it. So in the last minute that we have, how can people find your information online and read about what you do?
My website is publiusholder.com, and I've got well over 100 articles on the Constitution. I also have an Ask Questions page where people can write and ask me any question they want about our U.S. Constitution.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a great resource.
Yeah.
And I think in this day and age, knowing what your rights are is so important, and not giving up your rights for safety, for someone to protect you.
Right.
If you do not do it yourself, you are going to have all your rights taken from you. You won't even know what hit you.
Yes. Things are moving very, very, very quickly now. I urge everybody to do two things. Read the Declaration of Independence. Read the U.S. Constitution. Arrange for food storage. Learn how to grow a garden. Get trained and skilled in the use of arms. And make friends with your neighbors.
And I would add one more thing to that. Get a relationship with God, because that who is the supreme power. These guys don't matter. God does. And on that note, I hate to end the show because it's been a pleasure being with you. I'd like to thank you so much for joining me.
It's my honor.
And thank you. Oh, mine too. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.